Welcome to Whiskey Shenanigans. I'm your host, Randy Warren. Whiskey Shenanigans, where we help our listeners experience the world of whiskey, every aspect of life, as if it was accompanied by a glass of bourbon. The sports world on whiskey. Basically every part of life on whiskey. Whiskey Shenanigans is about getting exclusive interviews from Bourbon Row in Kentucky, where we can learn about the secrets that make our favorite bourbons unique. We will get inside the hearts and minds of many distillers and help you understand what and how they are achieving it. Whiskey Shenanigans is about going beyond boring podcasts featuring just tastings. Heck, what do you get out of that anyway? It's about bringing on guests and experiencing the entire world through whiskey. But be warned, if you're diving in and you want to participate in these riveting discussions, you will need to grab a glass or a dram and be prepared to be entertained. Whiskey Shenanigans fans, we are very excited today to welcome Nick Farrell and Greg Engert from the Neighborhood Restaurant Group. This is a pretty large restaurant group in the eastern part of the United States, where many of you are located. And you should go and visit some of their bars and restaurants. But we wanted to hear from these guys from the supply chain point of view. You know, these are the guys that you interact with the most. You go to the liquor store, that's one outlet. You go to the bar, that's another outlet. You go to the restaurants. So you can get fine whiskey selections from all of their different restaurants. And we wanted to hear from these guys about what they do to help to bring you a really nice curated selection of bourbons and whiskeys and all of that. So we wanted to talk to these guys today. So welcome, Nick and Greg.
Thanks, Randy.
Yep.
Great to be here.
Guys. Yeah, why don't we start out? You tell us, Greg, a little bit about the Neighborhood Restaurant Group and how it got started. And you're in like 20 different locations now. So just tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So Neighborhood Restaurant Group started back in 1997 with a little neighborhood restaurant called Evening Star Cafe that will turn 30 next year, which is incredible. It's been going strong this whole time. Michael Babin is our founder, and he not started with that, but pretty immediately started to expand. He opened a wine shop, and then I and a number of chef-owned restaurants. I joined the company in 2006 when we opened our first beer property called Rustico. So in the early days, we were really focused on wine. Then it was craft beer. And with every program we do, then and now, we were really interested in showcasing the best of everything, right? Small producers, passionate producers, people just eking out the best flavors from the grain and grape and things like that. And now we're up to roughly 24 concepts stretching throughout Northern Virginia and DC primarily. We have a couple locations in Maryland. And then we even have a great restaurant and cocktail bar down in New Orleans called Junebug. I'd say that we've always been interested in spirits and cocktails, but with the boom in interest, we really started to focus more late 2000s, early 2010s. And now you see it across all of our properties.
Did you say the one in New Orleans is called Junebug?
Junebug, yeah.
That's a cool name.
Fantastic cocktail program. Amazing spirit lists. Lots of ODBs and brandies actually there. But the thing that's been really drawing all of our collections together is the brown stuff, whiskey and bourbon. Really started to focus on that probably over a decade ago, almost 15 years ago. Then as we ended up going into the pandemic, we were expanding our collections. And then the boom through the pandemic, we really doubled down on it. And Nick Farrell's been with us in some capacity since 2013, but he's been our spirits director since about 2019 or even longer than that now. I can't even keep track. And a lot of cool stuff has been going on. You know, in DC, what's really interesting is we get a lot of opportunities to buy products from a lot of different distributors, but we can also buy direct from producers, and that's for beer, wine, and spirits. And during the pandemic, they adjusted the rules so that we could also do off-premise sales. So at our DC spots, we obviously serve whiskey by the casking cocktails, but since 2020, we've been able to sell retail as well. And that has been massive for what we're able to bring in and a lot of the programming you can do because we can just move volume in a way that most restaurant groups can't.
Right. So Nick, a lot of, you know, distributors are going to come in your door and they're going to knock on the door and say, Nick, let me in. I want you to carry, you know, this, that, or the other thing. How many are there now? It's like, there's gotta be like 8 in the United States or more. It's not a lot, right?
Eight distributors. Well, and I mean, if you count the small ones, they can really, like, there's probably about 20 in DC that carry liquor, but yeah, we mainly work with, you know, 7 or 8 in DC proper.
Right. So the big ones are going to carry all the Buffalo Trace products and the Woodford products and, you know, the big names that everybody's familiar with.
Exactly.
But the nice thing about it is with the Buffalo Trace products is they focus on the restaurants, you know, so you don't go, you go to the Total Wine and, you know, I've walked into multiple Total Wines and they don't have a single product from the entire Buffalo Trace line. Not one, no Colonel Taylor, no Stag, no Pappy, no, they might have Benchmark maybe, but maybe not. No Buffalo Trace, you know, like on and on it goes. But you guys would have all, you know, access to all of that, which is you can choose whatever you want.
Exactly. We can to an extent. And that's where, like, what's available can come in or come out. And we certainly have to, at times, buy certain things to get other things. The, like, with Buffalo Trace, for example, you know, they won't tell you necessarily what to buy, but certainly they like when you move a lot of volume and they encourage you to branch out from their whiskey selection into vodka, into they also own Fireball, so anybody that's carrying Fireball certainly moves up on the points list with them. They do Buzzballs as well, but we're kind of uniquely positioned where we're able to carry our favorite things from Buffalo Trace and still earn a lot of points. And a lot of that ties back to a little bit of what Greg was talking about with being able to sell bottles. We've been really successful with full bottle sales ever since 2020. And that's allowed us to show volume what we in the industry would call on-premise, which is in a restaurant, anything you consume within a restaurant. Right. So once you can start moving, you know, bottles themselves, like you are able to access different tiers of what's available to us. So like when we really tried to start focusing on it, we would get, you know, maybe, or not maybe, we would get 3 bottles of Blanton's a week, you know, and to use amongst all our properties. Right.
Oh, wow. That's not much.
And exactly. That's not much. So you're talking about like 12 bottles of Blanton's a month, you know, across 6 DC properties. And now, you know, I think most recently, like last month, you know, we were able to buy over 60, you know, whole bottles. And that's not something we'd be able to pour off in like every single bar. We wouldn't be able to sell 60 within those 6 restaurants in DC just by pouring ounce and a half pours. Right. But by being able to sell bottles, we can both get access to those 60 and sell all of those 60 at the same time, which is really nice. And that opens the door for us to different levels of single barrel access within Buffalo Trace. So for those who are unaware, that's like your like Weller Antique 107s, your Stag Juniors, your Blanton's Golds, you know, your E.H. Taylor barrel picks. That's a level we've worked really hard to reach by selling a lot of different things. You were talking about people knocking on our door. We get a lot of people knocking on our door now, but at first we were the ones that had to do the knocking, you know.
Right. That's always the way it is. You get something started, it takes a while before they turn. Eventually they turn and it's like, remember me?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when I was knocking on your door? No, that's great. So how does it work from a consumer point of view when you sell a bottle? It's not like takeout, right? It's not like pizza takeout. I don't walk in, buy a bottle, take it and leave, right? Or do I?
Yeah, you can. And in fact, at the Roost where I'm located right now, we have specifically that. So you can pull up your, you can scan a QR code, pull up Toast, select one of, I think we have 15 different bottles for sale right now at the Roost. So if you were in our bar at Show of Hands, they'd be able to sell you, you know, pretty much any closed bottle, as long as you buy a food item along with that. So, you know, that might be like a cookie or, you know, and anything that can go along with it. And at that point, it's legal. And that was something that started, I think it was late March 2020, maybe early April, and got extended in perpetuity. But not many restaurants do that in DC. It's really, it's really only us that leverage it as much as we do. Well,
and also I would tell you that, you know, what's been really interesting for us is that we've been able to leverage that into special sales and clubs and stuff like that. So yeah, like Nick said, you can walk in and some of our places, the Roost, Blue Jacket, our brewery actually has retail every day. But we also do these really cool like whiskey sales a couple times a year where we'll use an online ordering platform and go into our cellar and just pull out all sorts of previous barrel picks and rare stuff that we've saved for the occasion, you know, typically around Father's Day and Christmas and Hanukkah. And that's a great way to move stuff. We have a whiskey club that has at certain points included full bottles, but in many cases includes samples and little tasters. So that's another way that we can lean into doing the to-go business with spirits. And then also bottled cocktails. You know, we'll mix cocktails in small format, 10, 12 ounces, or even up to like 750 milliliter bottles. And again, what's so fun about this is that, yeah, it's almost the tail wags the dog at this point. So because we're doing all these things, we have the volume to keep getting cool stuff, but we still need to move volume to get the cool stuff. So
right.
We've had to kind of arrange for all these different outlets, which ultimately has just been amazing for business in general, because we have this loyal cadre of fans who are committed to our whiskey selection, and they know they're going to get access to really cool things on-premise events, off-premise sales, and things like that. So it's been fun to build up our clubs around that.
That's fantastic. I mean, I was going to say there's, you know, people on Instagram who like, they're like bourbon hunters, you know, they'll like kill for a Blanton's Gold, you know? I mean, it's like, oh, didn't you know? You could just drive into the Roost in Washington, D.C. and pick one up with a cookie. What are you doing standing in line in the, you know, in the bad weather, you know, waiting at some outside some liquor store that maybe has one bottle and, you know, you're not going to get it. Just drive up to the Roost.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned Blanton's Gold specifically, because we selected a Blanton's Gold barrel in July last year. It hasn't come in yet because there was some flooding in Kentucky, but it should be in before Father's Day for our Father's Day sale. So that's something people can access online, pick up at three locations throughout DC. You just click a button, we bag it up, we bring it to the location. We give you like a delivery window where you can pick it up of like a 4-day window. You can't just click the button for the twice yearly sale and pick it up immediately. But, you know, we'll have it packaged and ready for you within 2 to 3 days, because we're just dealing with so much volume and we have to move bottles around that it just takes a couple of minutes there.
But, that's fantastic. And you know what else is really cool? You've sort of mentioned it a couple of times, but we should dive into this a little bit. You guys have access to these barrel picks, which is really interesting. So your fans, the people who come back to your restaurant and, you know, visit your establishments, they're going to get really cool stuff that you guys have selected, which is, you know, really nice. I mean, tell me about that experience. What's that like for you guys to go out and do a barrel pick?
Exactly. Oh, it's the most fun in the world. You know, and sometimes you get to do it at a distillery. More frequently, we get to pick from a number of samples, 3 to 6 samples. We can say, you know, yes or no. And it's all depending on what we ask for. We've been talking about like Buffalo Trace and the Buffalo Trace world a lot, but because of our cachet, we're able to go to smaller distilleries and see, you know, do those picks as well. And when things are lesser known, people will still come in and buy those barrels because we have built up a great reputation based on those picks. Like, we sent you guys 7 samples, a lot of which we're going to talk about today. But yeah,
these are from barrel sample 1 and 2 from Elijah Craig, toasted barrel proof. They came out of different floors on the Rick House, roughly
yep.
the same, you know, proof. But yeah, I tasted them all.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Great. So we could talk about this, and I really like this. To speak to smaller distilleries, the Thresh and Winnow single barrel that we did right here as well from distillery in Chicago. That's a newer brand. They're better known as Caval. This is their more high end line, but that's a great 10-year rye that we were able to bring in, and we were able to do the first barrel pick in the country with them because it's something we really pushed for, and people got really excited about that. So we're able to take risks like that, and bring things to people that they're looking for, that they know they want, and that they don't know they want, but they get curious about once we pick it up. So.
Absolutely. So this is, I tried this one. This is fantastic. This is a 10-year aged 100 proof. This is 100% rye. So still, as they say on this thing, there's no corn in here. There's no wheat in here. There's no malted barley in here. This is 100% rye. And, you know, if you don't know what rye smells like,
one of the best examples you can get, right? Because it is 100%.
This is a really good smell. I'm going to compare it to something that maybe people don't think is such a great smell, but a strong smell would be like when you walk into a horse stable, you smell the rye. You smell other stuff too, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah. No, but it does have that like leather horse saddle thing happening that you really only get once you start getting up into like past 8 years of age in products.
Right. And it's very good. I mean, 100 proof, that's a beautiful, beautiful sample. And you picked that barrel?
Yeah, we picked that barrel, and we picked that barrel while we were talking to them. Basically, we're trying some samples of this line that they just released. And I asked them if they did single barrels. They said no. And I said, well, this bottle is a single barrel. How do you decide, which bottles go where? And they said, well, we label each bottle with, whatever barrel it is. And then we send it to different parts of the country. And I said, well, how about if you send me samples of what you're bottling, and then we decide which barrel comes to DC, and we take all of it. And they thought for about 3 days, and they said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm sure. They said, well, if you don't need us to create a new label, we'll do that for you. And they had 6 samples to us within a week. And I asked them, can I say that we were the first people to do a Thresh and Winnow barrel pick? And the people at Caval said, yes, you can. You absolutely are. Nobody's done that before. We haven't even thought of doing it.
I mean, this is great for business for you guys. I mean, it's like, you're getting stuff that is, this is high quality stuff too. I mean, this is not some like craft that come out of some place where they don't really have good rye. I mean, if you're going to make an all rye, it better be good rye, right?
Exactly. And you better know what you're doing, because a through point, as you know, throughout bourbons, ryes, and even wheat whiskeys in the United States is to have a certain amount of malted barley or just barley grain. The reason they're doing that is because it's much easier to ferment and distill that way. To do 100% rye, it's a lot harder to crack that rye grain and ferment it easily without a little help. The sugars are harder to access. So anybody that's doing 100% rye really has to know what they're doing, has to be patient, and has to be dedicated to making a more expensive product, because it's just It's harder to do. The yields is lower. It's just a million reasons.
So you guys have stuff that's truly unique. I mean, nobody else has this stuff.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's great business, right? I mean, you got fans and they love your whiskey and they come into your establishments. They eat your steaks, they eat your food, whatever. And, you know, they've got a great choice of all these different things. Did you pick the Elijah Craig? Did you pick one or more of these first two?
Nope. So actually what we have here is we haven't picked these yet. So these are, you're holding up the small sample bottles I sent you. This is what they brought to me. So this is a 200 milliliter bottle right here.
Yep.
You can see it's mostly empty because we poured it out three ways, and also a few bartenders at our bar over here, show of hands, sampled these bottles as well. I wasn't sure whether I was going to do a pick because as you can see, there's another Elijah Craig Special Single Barrel Proof. We've already done that.
Yeah.
So these were just something that came to me a couple of weeks ago. And they said, hey, if you like any of these samples, the barrel is yours. Taste through them. So actually, I haven't even tasted these two yet. If you want, we can taste along right now.
Yeah, and, let's do it.
I will say, so like as we're talking to people here, because it's very difficult to get a full idea of what we're doing. We have two samples from different rickhouses. Sample one is from floor 5 of the rickhouse, and that's 127 proof. This is the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel proof. And sample two is floor 3 and 120 proof from a different rickhouse. So when we say Toasted Barrel proof, it's starting off in a number 3 char barrel, and then they're moving it into a lighter char barrel at the end of its light for a few months to up to a year, just to give it more nuance of flavor. But what's kind of cool, especially about that sample two, if you'll note, and this is something we'll look for, it's at 120 proof.
Yep.
And Elijah Craig's barrel entry proof is 125. It's very rare to have a barrel go down in proof because the weather conditions, the humidity in Kentucky, typically you always see the numbers go up. Sometimes if you recently re-barrel something or you empty the barrel in the winter, you might get a slightly lower proof. Generally speaking, you're expecting that proof to jump up one, maybe 2 points a year. Because there's a secondary finish, we're losing a little bit of alcohol. Right. Because that's lower, like for me, I'm immediately thinking, I want to see what that one tastes like because it's going to taste a little different because something different happened with this barrel. That could be good. That could be bad.
That's so. Right. It definitely is. They're definitely different. I mean, I tried these both a little while ago. I'll try them again, but.
Yeah. And if you see that color, it's just, it's super dark and rich there. It's probably about 10 years old. I'm not telling you because I don't know. And this is something a lot of distilleries will do is they'll give you the samples without telling you the age. And I prefer that because then you get to pick on flavor alone, right? You're not just picking the oldest one, because what distilleries would find is everybody would just pick the oldest one without thinking about what was actually in the glass.
Right. And so these could be different ages, in fact, and might be.
Exactly.
Different proof. So they could definitely be different ages. I mean, it's not just floor 3 and floor 5 are not that far apart.
Right.
No.
And I think in this case, what's also interesting is that another thing that a lot of barrel pickers have done is they've started picking based on proof. So they would look at, some people would look at these two and just go, we'll take 127 because 120 seems off and odd. Or they're picking based on color. You know, the dark browns and the purplish ones are the ones that get picked. But we tend not to do that. We like to do it blind. And like you said, these two are drastically different. And I mean, I will just say that my immediate response is that I've identified it myself. Not, I don't want to influence you guys, but the 120 is not, it's more integrated and a little bit more, maybe a little bit more subdued in the nose, but it's round and rich. That's great sweetness that comes through. There's not a lot of tan. Well, to me, like apple pie qualities. The 127, though, these has some kind of odd flavors to me. It's a little waxy, a little butterscotchy, a little bit of, almost like circus peanuts.
Yeah, you've got a good nose because I'm picking up all of that. I'm picking up the butterscotch, the waxiness on the nose, all of that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's more
intense.
There are a lot of artificial candy notes, exactly what Greg is alluding to there. That can be pleasant for some people and can be, you know, a big turnoff for others.
I'm probably going with number two.
I think I am as well. And texture is a big thing for me on these barrel picks, especially. It's like a lot of them can have great noses, but how it finishes is the most important thing. Because if you're really going to sit there and consider a whiskey, it's nice when, you know, 5-10 seconds after that sit, you're not, running your tongue over the roof of your mouth or reaching for a water because you're trying to clear out some like dusty wood notes that are a little off, or it's just an astringency that doesn't work.
Yeah, I think floor number three, proof 120, to me is the winner. That's a really nice bourbon. And, you know, as Peter said, the color is gorgeous. You know, it's 120 proof, so it's packed full of flavor. You know, it's not proofed down to 90 already. It's not cut with water. So you're going to get the whole experience with this. I mean, and that may be a lot, but if it's too much, put a little ice in it, you know, to open it up.
Absolutely. And that's another thing, like, as we're talking about these proofs, sometimes we get the option to either go barrel proof or have it proofed down to 100 or 80 proof. As a group, we typically go for that barrel proof, not because, you know, we want, you know, the most alcohol possible, but at the higher alcohol, it just holds on to more flavors and can open up really, really nicely. One of the nice things about getting to be in front of people a lot and do a lot of guided tastings is you can really get converts in people by pouring them something that's barrel proof that they might shy away from because they don't necessarily know how to drink it. And then you can add that water in front of them and give them, you know, 2 half-ounce pours side by side, add a little bit of water, you know, and let them taste those things side by side, and watch it open up almost like decanting a wine. And it's so much fun. So you're in good company here with picking number two. You'll see there's a piece of blue tape on it. And that's because the bartenders at Show of Hands had decided when they got a chance to try these that it was their favorite. And so they wanted to let me know when they passed these samples off to me. They were like, by the way, we like this one the best. So keep that in mind.
All the words on this are great words. I mean, people love the toasted barrel, you know, it's barrel proof. It's tell me where the rickhouse is, the floor. This is all great stuff that people really enjoy knowing and like, oh man, that's really what makes one different from another, one barrel different from another.
No, exactly. It really becomes a crazy rabbit hole once you start getting into, once you start knowing where each of the 70 rickhouses in Elijah throughout the Heaven Hills campuses in Kentucky are and what the advantages and disadvantages of each are. And there are certainly people out there that know that.
You
know?
Yeah, it's a fascinating place. You drive through and there's just these big warehouses that just are storing, you know, millions and millions of barrels. These things are, man, they're just, it's aging so much whiskey. It's just really cool. It's really interesting how all this stuff works. I'm a curious person in general. So what about the Heaven Hill? Two choices from Heaven Hill.
Yeah. And what's fun is, and maybe this will show up on the video for people that are, for people that are watching the video here. But I have, in this hand here, I have the Heaven Hill, and in this hand, I have the Elijah Craig. And you can see that one is significantly darker, right? And that's the Elijah Craig here. So the Heaven Hill is also from Heaven Hill, which makes Elijah Craig. It is probably most of their releases now are about 7 years old, but it's a batch product and it's 100 proof. So what you're getting with that color is you're getting a little bit of water added and then just not quite the same benefit of age there. The advantage here for us is that this is something that comes in at a price point where if we don't sell all of it, we could put it in a cocktail. So so while the Elijah Craig, you know, would make like a $30-$35 cocktail, you know, we can put a Heaven Hill single barrel in front of people in an old fashioned and charge, you know, $13-$14 and be very, very comfortable with that. You know?
Yeah, price point. And it's more approachable because the proof is not as high. So you don't have
exactly.
to be careful not to sniff the ethanol, you know? There's something to learn how to do this that does matter.
Yeah, yeah.
These are so different. Again, it's like, I mean, it's so much fun to do these barrel tastings and just keep returning to the glass and seeing just how different they are. I don't know. I mean, for me, number four, again, talking, Nick and I are big on texture for these. And I think the number four comes through with this incredible richness on the palate and has almost like, I would call it like a Cocoa Puff character to it, like that type of a chocolatey sweetness that comes through in the finish. And it's a hint of like cocoa in the nose, but lighter in the nose than on the palate.
Yeah.
A little bit more figgy maybe in the nose. The third sample to me.
It's a little more like minty. It almost comes across like a rye. There's a lot of herbaceous notes to it there. Like almost like a crushed fresh mint, not like a mint tea quality to it that you typically find in a higher rye. Like if you gave this to me blind, I might be like, oh, this is closer to the Threshing Winnow. You know, just a younger version of it.
Right. Yeah. For sure. So I definitely lean towards number four out of the two of these.
Ooh. They both have a really nice honey texture to them. Like a honey nut Cheerio thing.
Little bit of chocolate on the palate and whatnot. I thought that was nice. The first one was number three was from Heaven Hill was.
But it also has a honey sweetness, like you said, Nick. Like it's
honey sweetness.
It's minted herbal.
A little more herbal, but, floral. Yeah. Not as deep in, you know, chocolate.
A little more esoteric, I would say. You know, a little more interesting and different. The fourth sample, a little bit more expected, I think.
And for those of us listening to the show who don't know what bottle and bond means, I mean, it means a lot of things, but one of the things it means is it's 100 proof. So that's where these fall in line at 100 proof. You know, it also
ideally, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier with sometimes these barrel samples don't come quite through at the proof you want or at the proof they say, right? That they say they are, because you know, when they're sending out samples like this, they're proofing down by hand, and it's so somebody might pour a little too much, and you know, so but these do taste true to proof, so
they do. They do.
So that's promising.
And they're lighter than all the other samples in color, except for the John Bowman single barrel that we'll talk about in a minute here.
Yeah.
So, want to do that one next?
Yeah, let's do that one.
It's aged. Don't get it wrong. It's not 10 years. It's 1 day.
10 years in 1 day. We have that right here. The actual bottle here, this is the barrel we picked out. Bowman, for the uninitiated, is a Sazerac Buffalo Trace product that is distilled first in Kentucky by Sazerac, and then shipped unaged to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and redistilled. The original Bowman distillery, before it was bought by Buffalo Trace in 1997, I believe, it started out in Fairfax, Virginia, which is right down the road from us. And the distillery now is about an hour and a half away from where I'm sitting right now. So for us, this is a special product to us because it's local. It has that local connection. It is a place we can visit easily, but it's done with the same, you know, know-how and craftsmanship of all Buffalo Trace products. It's just a little different because it's like everything's aged in this former factory where they actually palletize everything in upright barrels, which is a little bit different from the way most distilleries do things. I was looking it up the other day. Woodford Reserve does this with a lot of their products. It's easier to move them around. Most of the time when you're in a distillery, you'll see a barrel on its side. The other thing about the warehouse where this is aged is half of it's underground as well. So it's and because it's up in Virginia, you're getting a much slower aging process. So as you were talking about that color being different, even though this is 10 years in one day, it is lighter in color. So we're sort of like we're cooking at a lower temperature here. This is a much slower, mellower aging process.
And it just tastes it too. It tastes a little, a little bit more mellow, a little bit more floral notes and things like that.
But it's one of my favorite things about the narratives behind these products and the derivation of the flavor profiles. Like you can't make nothing in the world can taste like John J. Bowman.
Right.
Because you'd have to do the first distillation in Kentucky by Sazerac, ship that over and second distill it in Virginia, then age it upright in a mix of ground level and underground barrels. It's going to create different whiskey flavors and a different terroir that's not necessarily attached to like a specific place, but to many places in this case. And I think for the money, obviously we're local homers on this, but it's such a great value in whiskey. Yeah. Bowman, it's unbelievable. And a lot of people around these parts don't even really know about it, which is still kind of wild.
Yeah, yeah. This line specifically, you can find it on the shelves in a Virginia ABC store around the same age for about $60 a bottle. And like, if you're talking a 10-year, $60 a bottle Sazerac Buffalo Trace product, I think anybody would jump at it, right? But it's just, it's not as well known. And it doesn't have the market penetration in, you know, Massachusetts or other places where, you know, it's not even on the shelves. Right. So, and as you alluded to that like 10 years in one day there, when Greg and I went down to this distillery, we went down in about in June or May, a couple of years ago for this pick specifically. They gave us a wonderful tour, tasted us through 8 samples, put the barrels in front of us. And this is what we landed on. When we landed on it, the master distiller revealed that it was a 9-year and I think at that point 7-month bourbon. And we looked at him and we said, hey, you know, we'd love to take this. Is there any chance you can wait about 5 months to dump this barrel?
Right.
And he said, sure thing. And he dumped it 10 years in one day so we could get that 10-year age statement on there.
And they were happy to do that because they knew that we tasted it blind, right? And we chose it. And he was like, oh, that was a good pick. And so he was happy to do that. You know, it wasn't like they told us the ages of any of the barrels and we knew. This one just jumped out to us and it still does. It's just it's a wonderful
dram.
That's a great pick. I love that. These other three that you got, the Thresh and Winnow, the John Barrow, and the Elijah Craig, the Payne Perdue. That's an interesting.
Yeah, sure. So it's French. So we selected this for our French restaurant, Josephine in Old Town Alexandria. And so Payne Perdue means it is what they call French toast in France. And so it's a toasted barrel, single barrel for a French restaurant. We thought it would be a little cheeky and fun to name the barrel Payne Perdue.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of brioche on this. That was kind of one of the big notes that we got. Fresh baked bread, the hints of like cinnamon in the background there, like cinnamon toast crunch or like Cinnabon frosting layers a little bit. Super tasty.
And it has, like you were talking earlier, a great mouthfeel.
Yeah.
It's velvety. It's smooth. It's really nice. I mean, at 127 proof, well, I've had a couple little tastes. It's not really burning that much. Like I had a 108 proof Castle and Key that had a good amount of rye and a good amount of malted barley in it. And it said it was wheated. And I'm like, okay, but it was a bourbon with that. And it's like, it's got all these different grains. And I'm like, but man, when you tasted it, it was like, it was on fire. Like, wow, this thing, like rye is just coming out, bursting out of this thing. But, you know, not like this. I mean, this is much smoother, much more palatable, like much more, you know, it's got a great mouthfeel, really nice smell to it. Yeah. Yeah, definitely picking up some leather. And so
it's really, yeah, but you're right. It's really restrained for its strength. And that was something that jumped out at us. I think a lot of the Elijah Craig barrels that we've tasted at this strength show really wonderful composition and roundness to them, and they're not typically fiery. And but you know, some of the best whiskeys in the world are fiery, and you hit it with a couple drops of water and it makes it perfect, you know. So it's not the worst, but it's always nice to have something you can taste neat like this.
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I did. I took that and I taste everything neat first, and then I'm like, you know what, this would probably be perfect with an ice cube. Yeah. Put one ice cube in it, and it's like a totally different drink. And it's like, yeah, now it's so approachable. It's not on fire, and you still get all the rye notes, and it still get, you know, all the flavor, and just really good. But yeah, you guys have these, all of these at your place, your different restaurants. These are fabulous picks.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And we have, you know, 8 at any given time currently in each of our DC restaurants. But I know I mentioned to you last week that we've done 27 barrel picks. That was the number I got to while doing a quick count. I since, after doing that list, remembered 6 more that we did that I'd forgotten. So we've done 33 with still some fun ones coming down the line over the next few months here. It should be really exciting.
And since last week, I've talked to Bourbon Plus Magazine, and we want to do a barrel pick for you guys.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. We have to go down to Frankfurt at some point this year to do a barrel pick. So we should be in touch, because we're able to invite along anybody we want. So if your schedule's open, you know, it'd be a lot of fun to walk into Buffalo Trace and maybe pick out a stag barrel pick later this year.
Something like that, yeah. And we could probably get some publicity in Bourbon Plus Magazine and Whiskey Shenanigans.
That would be fabulous. Oh, yeah.
So, and you know, the nice thing about it, I told them, like, you know, these guys have the outlet to distribute the product. You know, if I do a barrel pick, I'm not going to drink, you know, 200, you know, bottles of a whiskey. You know, no matter how much I like it, I don't like it that much. So, but these guys have the outlet to get those bottles out to the public, which is where they belong.
Yeah, we did a Wilderness Trail pick around this time last year, and when it came through, it was 19 bottles.
Only 19.
And we were splitting it with another restaurant locally that we're close with, and. Wilderness Trail actually came back to us and said, hey, do you want to do another barrel? We've got a little bit of a problem. And we laughed and we said, no, that's not a problem, because sometimes those, like, it was definitely a leaky barrel, but sometimes with those leaky barrels, you can get a lot of fun flavors. And that's definitely what we picked up there. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. So yeah, I'm going up to you know, Bourbon Plus is, a lot of the people there are in Tennessee and Nashville area. So I'm
cool. Yeah. A
week from Friday, and we're going to go to the largest speakeasy in terms of number of bottles of bourbon in the world. So they're at 7200 unique barrels of bourbon and counting.
My goodness.
Wow. What's the name of the place?
It's called the Whiskey House.
Wow, amazing.
And I want to get it confused with another place. Let me make sure that's it. It's just the Whiskey House, yeah.
My dad lives down in Knoxville. I'm going to have to convince him to go on a little side quest with me next time I end up down there.
Yeah, it's hard to find. They keep it secret.
All right. Well,
it's a secret as to where it is. It's in Nashville. They don't mind people knowing that, but they do keep it secret because I guess, I don't know why, it just makes the mystique more, but they're a nonprofit. And so they allow charities to raffle off tastings at the whiskey.
Oh, that's awesome.
A group of people will bid on it, and sometimes they get like $20,000 or more for a tasting because it's all going to charity, which is great. So very cool. Very cool. But yeah, I mean, definitely want to do a barrel pick with you guys. This has been,
that'd be a lot of fun.
So much fun. And it has been really great getting to know you guys, Nick and Greg, and man, these are great. I mean, wow. You must have fantastic selections in your restaurants because these are all good picks. I mean, I like them.
Man, next time you're up in DC, let us know. We'll taste you through some more.
My daughter and son-in-law live in Old Town Alexandria.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, cool.
So we will be up there visiting them. And so, yeah, we'll definitely check out. I got to find this. What's the name of this French restaurant?
It's called Josephine.
Josephine's
great. It's right on St. Asaph Street in Old Town. It's incredible. It's an old firehouse from the late 19th century.
Cool.
And it's been a number of restaurants. We actually took it over in 2009, and it was called, we turned it into a kind of a mid-Atlantic tavern called Columbia Firehouse at that point. And it's just beautiful. It's three levels, gorgeous interiors. And then during the pandemic, we kind of felt like it was time for a refresh. And we had this idea for a French bistro called Josephine. And so we refreshed the space and the offering and the branding and turned it into Josephine. And it's been a runaway success. It does amazing stuff. It's got great collection of spirits and cocktails, obviously. We even shake up Ramos Gin Fizz the old-fashioned way. It takes 15 minutes or so, maybe a little less. But then, you know, we have great martini service, et cetera, but also fantastic all French small winemaker, sustainable winemaking list. Nice. That covers about, you know, 300 or 400 bottles.
Wow.
Really cool.
Well, you guys are doing it right. I mean, there's no longer a secret because you just told us that you're doing it right. I mean, you're doing it right and this is working and you're being very successful at it. So this is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's been great getting to know you guys, and we're going to be working together on a barrel pick, and, you know, I'm looking forward to all this stuff. This is great. Thank you guys very much for joining us today and, you know, helping our listeners to understand the world of barrel picks.
Sure. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Randy.
All right, bye-bye. Welcome again, Whiskey Shenanigans fans, to the Shenanigans portion of the Whiskey Shenanigans show. And I thought we might have a little fun today. So, you ready to have a little fun? Here we go. I have with me two very nice bottles. Number one is this one. This is the Rabbit Hole High Gold, HEIGOLD, Kentucky Straight Bourbon. High rye, double malt, 95 proof. Got all that? High rye, double malt. I also have with me today the Rabbit Hole. Not called Cave Dweller. What's it called here? Put it in front of my face. There it is. This is the Rabbit Hole Cave Hill. Not Cave Dweller, Cave Hill, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 47.5% alcohol, 95 proof. Both exactly the same proof, both from the same distillery, Rabbit Hole. You've probably heard of them. Let's take a look. Let's see what we can see. Let's try. Let's do a little, you know, when you go to the eye doctor and he goes, better one, better two. Better one, better two, two, one, two, one, one, two. Well, we're going to do a little better one, better two with this stuff. So this will be two. This is the Cave Hill.
and this will be one. This is the High Rye Double Malt. All right. Now, I don't know how well you can tell on the video, but when you look at the color, they're very similar, honestly. The double malt does look modestly darker to me, but it is so difficult to tell. So I'm going to say they're virtually the same color. Now we've poured a little into this glass. Let's swirl it around. We can see the sugars. We can see the whiskey. Ah, look at it drain down the sides of the glass. That is pretty. Okay. Color-wise, we're still good. It's got a nice smell. It doesn't smell peaty like you might think, oh, double malt, maybe it's like a scotch or something. You know, it's this is still a bourbon. This is still 70% or 50% or whatever it is of the corn. So, but there's definitely some high rye in here. So that's probably around 20% rye. And there's double malt. So doesn't smell like a scotch, though. Doesn't smell peaty at all, like a single malt. And let's take a look at the other one. This is the Cave Hill. Again, color's about the same. Okay, this one is definitely more vanilla and caramely. Let's go back to this one for a second. This is the High Gold. Double malt. The Cave Hill definitely, well, I mean, it's more of a straight bourbon. So it doesn't have the high rye in it. It doesn't have the double malt. So you're getting more of the bourbon flavors. You're getting more of the sweet, the toffee, the, you know, those nice caramely, you know, sugary flavors that you get with it, with the corn. And the other one, not as much. The High Gold, the double malt, I'm not picking up a lot of other flavors yet. So that's just the sniff test. Okay. The spin test on these two, I expect them to be about the same. Yeah, about the same. I think the double malt stuck to the glass a little bit more. I mean, I'm being picky here. I'm being real picky. Because I'm trying to tell the difference. Better one, better two. Better two, better one. Better one, one, two, one, two, one. What do you got? All right. One. Definitely, I can taste the high rye. No question about it. The high rye in this rises to the occasion. You got your baking spices, your cinnamon, your clove, you got your little bit of raisin nuttiness, maybe a little bit. You definitely, yeah, you got a high rye going there. So the high rye double malt, you can definitely taste the rye. So a lot of people will say, like, if you're making an old fashioned, you want a little bit of rye, because otherwise the bourbon can kind of disappear amongst the other flavors in the old fashioned. I don't know if that's really true. But let's try the Cave Hill. Let's see which one's better. Better one, better two. This is number two. Smoother, gentler, not spicy. It's a real true bourbon. So this is not a fair comparison, right? We're not comparing two identical products. These are two products from the same distillery, but they're not identical, that's for sure. We should be able to tell them apart, and we can. So it comes down to some extent, which do you like better? Better one, double malt. Better two, straight bourbon. Double malt, bourbon. Double malt, bourbon. What's it going to be? Tough one. The bourbon, classic bourbon, not as viscous, not as thick to the taste. Let's go back to the double malt for a second. Better two, better one. Which is it? This is one. Let's go back to number one. Yeah. You got the spiciness. I'm not sure I'm getting the malt part of it. Not getting a lot of that. I'm getting the spicy. I'm getting the rye. I'm getting the bourbon. I'm getting the rye. And maybe that's just me. You know, everybody's sniffer, everybody's tasting, their palate, it's different. So it really comes down to what do you like? Two or one? And I'm going to say it this way. I'm going with the double malt if I'm making an old fashioned. Right now, going with the bourbon. If I just want to drink it straight, neat, or on one big rock. I see a lot of people drinking on one big rock. One big rock is nice. Think about it. Why does one big rock melt slower than a bunch of ice poured into the glass? Surface area, right? One big rock has less surface area than all those small pieces of ice. They're all surface area. So it melts slower. It doesn't dilute your drink as quickly. Here's a tip for you. So we've identified one and two. They both have their place. They both have their purpose in life. My palate, two, bourbon. But if I'm going with an old fashioned, I might just pick the rye, the double malt rye. But if I'm drinking it straight, definitely the bourbon. Here's a tip for y'all. You go out to a restaurant, you order an old fashioned, and you're annoyed because they poured a bunch of ice like they're making a Coca-Cola or something. It's like all chipped ice or whatever, or small bits of ice in the glass. And you don't even know if there's any bourbon in there. It's like... Oh, well, I mean, I can't even tell anymore. And it's going to melt so fast that it's going to be awful. You're going to ruin my drink with all that ice. Suggestion. Tell the waiter or waitress, hey, I want it on a big rock. Oh, you don't have a big rock? Oh, now what do I do? Give it to me neat and bring me a separate glass of ice and I'll control the ice content and the timing of the ice content as it goes into my glass. That way, I can control how much dilution is going to happen and when it's going to happen. What I really don't want is a whole bunch of ice poured into my bourbon, have it like, dilute. And like, I don't want to drink my bourbon in 3.5 minutes. I want to sip it. I want to enjoy it. I want to love it, right? I mean, I want to take 10 minutes to drink that bourbon. 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour. I don't know. But I surely don't want it diluted in the first 3 to 5 minutes with a bunch of ice. So ice in one glass, neat in the other. If they don't have a big rock, ice in one, neat in the other. If they have a big rock, go with that. That's great. That'll last long enough. You should be fine. Ice in one. Neat in the other. You'll be a happy drinker. Till next time, Whiskey Shenanigans. Hello again, Whiskey Shenanigans fans. I am here today with Amit and Marcin, and they are the founders of Mission Craft Cocktails. And we're going to learn a little bit about their journey, which has been quite exciting. And we're really excited to have you guys on today.
Thank you for having us.
We really appreciate it.